Good afternoon. Hello. This is a really interesting story. John 11, we may be there for several years in terms of the Lord just speaking stuff to our heart. And I was just reminded again, the Lord, I'm not trying to do Bible study. I'm just saying the Lord speak to me, reveal to me your love. And speak to my heart, because I want breakthrough, always. There's always more breakthrough, right? If the riches of Christ are unsearchable, every time you repent of what you've been thinking that's wrong and you've come into agreement with Him, then you come into a new place of experiencing a greater measure of the riches of Christ. So it never ends. But there are a lot of things, a lot of layers going on in this chapter, and so we'll do a little bit today, a little bit every day. But the two dominant things that are said is that Jesus told them when the disciples, he told the messengers that brought the message from Mary and from Martha that their brother was at the point of death, is that Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And then he told the disciples, after he waited 2 days to leave to go see Lazarus, even though the situation was very urgent, that he said, I'm glad that we waited so that you might believe. So the two big deals going on in the story of Lazarus' resurrection and Lazarus' death is about the glory of God and about teaching us to believe. Or the word pistuo would be better, I think, translated trust. The word that's pistuo, which is the dominant word, is always used for believing or trusting or faith in the New Testament, comes from the idea of someone who's already persuaded now persuading you. So God's persuaded, and his persuasion is intended to persuade us about something. We live by his faith, right? Our faith is just a mirror reflection of what he's already persuaded of. It's the evidence of things not seen. And so evidence is proof that something already exists. And therefore, that's fun stuff. So let me just show you some things, some layers here, and layers of kind of emotional contradiction and confusion and things that just don't make sense. And so you can't just operate from your head when you see the things that God is saying here. And that's important because we talked about this a couple weeks ago on a Sunday. Faith transcends understanding. Understanding doesn't come first. Faith comes first. With the heart, it says in Romans 10, with the heart we believe, not with the head. And so that's what, when Jesus says, I'm teaching you to trust, he's teaching us to live from the heart. And by faith we understand. Understanding comes as a result of faith. So this is, again, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, of the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Now just notice the things that the Holy Spirit emphasizes here. And it was the Mary, that same Mary, who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So this is the Mary of Bethany, Mary Magdalene, who had lived the life of a prostitute for whatever reason. And when she encountered Jesus, she was at the house of the Pharisees, and she fell down before him. This is the one where Jesus says she's loved much because she's been forgiven much. Because she understood the nature of grace, it caused her to love him more. We love because he first loves us. This is the one who two more times is going to anoint the feet of Jesus with this spikenard oil. The third time, actually, she anoints his head. This is the one whom Jesus says in Mark 14 that wherever the gospel is preached, what this woman has done in anointing his head for burial, wherever the gospel is preached, what she has done will be spoken of. And this is the person who Jesus revealed himself to in his resurrection first. He didn't reveal himself first to his mother or to John or to Peter, but he did to Martha. This is the one that Luke 8 says had seven demons cast out of her. So in her encounter with the Lord, and in the encounter of the love of God in Christ, it caused her to be set free from seven demonic spirits, changed her life. And the story that's woven through Scripture about her is this is one who loved him like no other. She's the one who told Peter and John that the tomb was empty, and they ran because of what she had said. Now, the Holy Spirit wants us to understand this is not just a person. Though Jesus loves all persons the same, but this wasn't just a casual acquaintance or someone that Jesus heard about. These were his very close friends. It goes on and says, verse 3, the sisters therefore sent to him, saying, Lazarus, behold, he whom you love is sick. So the emphasis here again, the one that you love is sick. And when Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified by it. And then the Holy Spirit adds verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So these were people that were very close to him. He stayed in their house often when he'd be near Jerusalem. He loved them deeply on a personal level in terms of relationship. And yet, it says in verse 6, when therefore he heard that he was sick, he stayed then 2 days longer in the place where he was. What? Now, the Holy Spirit wants to make a point that these were people that were very, very special to Jesus on a personal level. They may be, when we look at Scripture, outside of the apostles, and even more than the apostles in some ways, were the closest people to Jesus, huge supporters of him, one whose life had been transformed. And I can only imagine what that did for the sister, Martha, and for the brother, Lazarus, for this sister theirs who'd been a prostitute to be totally set free, become the person she'd become. And yet, when Jesus heard that he was sick, he decided to stay 2 days. Now, why? Well, obviously, he only did those things he saw the Father doing. And so the Father didn't leave yet. And he and the Father were one. He just got through saying, I'm in the Father's in me. In chapter 10, in verse 30, he said, I and the Father are one. So Jesus couldn't go where the Father wasn't going, because wherever the Father was, Jesus was also. They're one. Now, the interesting thing, it says in verse 17, so when Jesus came, he found that he had been already dead or already in the tomb for 4 days. So the timeline here seems to be this. Bethany is like 20 miles from the Jordan. He's on the other side of the Jordan in present day Jordan doing baptizing, or where John had baptized originally. And so it was at least a 1 day journey. And so this 1 day journey, especially if you were urgent, these 1 day journey, this servant or servants came to Jesus to say, the one whom you love is sick. That's the message from the sisters. Jesus says in front of them, the message that he gave them, and what he speaks to his disciples is, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Now, what do you think the servants assumed that meant? That Lazarus was not going to die. What do you think his disciples assumed that meant? Lazarus is not going to die. Because earlier, the chapter before, or two chapters before, the story before in chapter 9, when they saw the man born blind, and they wanted to know if his sickness was because of his sin or his parents' sin, Jesus says, no, this sickness is there that God might display his works in him, that God might display his glory. And so when Jesus said that then, he healed the man. So what else could it mean? And yet, this 1 day journey from the servants, they come to find Jesus. It takes them 1 day to get back. Jesus waits 2 more days. And so he had died maybe the day after they'd come to see Jesus. They were 1 day there, 1 day back. Jesus waits his 2 days. And so maybe the end of that day, I believe that when they got back, they told the sisters the message. Jesus said, this is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And they probably kept looking for him to show up, like their eyes on the horizon, but he doesn't show up. In verse 7, Then after this, the waiting 2 days, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again," which is where Lazarus lived. And the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again?" Now listen to what Thomas said. Thomas, I love Thomas. Verse 16 says, "Thomas, therefore, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us go also.'" In other words, once Jesus said he was going to go, and he told them, "Let us go there to Judea again." And they said, "Lord, we were just left there. You healed that blind man. You said that the Father, you and the Father were one. They were wanting to kill you. That was just the other day. And now you're wanting to go back. And we assumed, we waited 2 days, that you didn't go because you were trying to save your life." Jesus slipped away often because he knew they were trying to kill him. So you didn't go because the danger. But now you want to go. So obviously you didn't stay for 2 extra days because of the danger. So none of this makes sense. We thought that you stayed because of the danger. Now you want to go, and we're trying to remind you of the danger and why we thought you were going. And they were probably really relieved when for 2 days you didn't go. Whew, he's finally making a good decision. One, it makes sense. And so when Jesus said, "Let us go," they must have been really unsure whether they were going to go with him. And then Thomas has to say, "Let us go with him that we may die with him." That was their assumption. They were going to die with him. And so Jesus said to them, "Are there not 12 hours in the day?" Sounds like what he told them in chapter 9. Remember when he healed the blind man? He said, "We must work the works of him who sent us while it is still day. For when the night comes, no man can work." In other words, while we are in this life, we must do what God's called us to do, which is to overcome evil with good, to destroy the works of the devil. If anyone walks in the night, Jesus said again, there are 12 hours in a day. If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Now, one of the things that Jesus is saying to them, if you look up in chapter 10, when Jesus said that he was in the Father and the Father was in him, therefore they were seeking again to seize him, and he eluded their grasp. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was first baptizing, and he was staying there. And many were coming to him, and they were saying, "While John performed no signs, yet everything John said about this man is true," and many believed in him there. They tried to kill him then, but he eluded them. How come he eluded them? Because he's walking in the day. Because his life is in Father and the Father's in him, and his life is not determined by the will of men or circumstances any more than ours is. We don't have to walk in fear. He was in the Father was in him. I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. As long as it's still day, I'm to do the work of him who sent me, and I don't have to fear. My life is in his hands, just how Jesus lived. His hour had not yet come. And then Jesus said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go that he may awaken. I may awaken him out of the sleep." And the disciples therefore said, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, then he'll wake up on his own." And Jesus had spoken really of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of literal sleep. And then Jesus simply said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes, that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Now think of all the dynamics that's going on here. Lazarus gets really sick. This is a person that Jesus loved fiercely. They love Jesus. Big supporters. Stayed in their home a lot. Probably gave financially than every other way. Jesus says, "Well, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." They take off to go report, "Jesus is coming." And Jesus doesn't show up. He waits 2 days before he heads in their direction. Disciples think that he's staying there because he's making a smart move. Then they discover it had nothing to do with the smart moves. Now I have a clue why he's doing what he's doing. Why did you wait 2 days? Why didn't you just go? Why, I mean, you said for the glory of God, but then you stayed, then you're not going to stay. Now you're going to go. We're just going to go with you and die. And Jesus said, "I'm glad I didn't go, that you might believe, that you might trust." He said, "Well, it's a good thing Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, spared poor Martha and Mary. No, he died. They buried him. They were all weeping when Jesus showed up. They experienced grief, real grief and sorrow. They said to him twice, Lord, if you'd only come, our brother wouldn't have died. So he allowed them to suffer all that. And yet says to his disciples, I'm glad I stayed here, that you would trust. He told Mary, did I not say to you, if you would just believe, you would see the glory of God? How many times, I wonder, he had said that to them in their relationship. If you'll just trust me, you'll see the glory of God. What's going on here? Well, we're going to see the miracle, all that kind of stuff, but I'm telling you what's going on here. There's a lot of times in our walk with the Lord that we don't have a clue what he's doing and why he's doing it. Why he's allowing it. We don't have any theological answer for it. Everybody in the West wants to have a theological answer for everything, but I don't know. Why hasn't Craig been healed yet? I don't know. Is there some secret demon we haven't seen yet? No. Is there some, I don't know. But I can tell you this. All this going on, there are coming times in your life when nothing makes sense. There seems to be a bunch of contradictions. It doesn't seem fair, but it's so that we'll trust him. We live in a fallen world, and we have to trust him when we can't understand. Not just when we see it all. Not just because it happens when we want it to. And if we'll just trust him, we'll see the glory of God. Haven't all of us been through things at times that we didn't understand why they happened, the timing of it happening? He said, it's important that you trust me with this, or you'll never survive this walk with the Lord. You'll never be who God's called you to be. If you can't trust me when things don't go your way, when things don't make sense to you. Okay? It's really important. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.